To reach Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Good morning, everybody. I am Art Bell. In a moment, we're going to get real serious on you with Dr. Leonard D. Horowitz, who recently testified in front of a Senate Judiciary Committee. Big national news all about the statements made by one of our senators, Senator Patrick Leahy, a possibility of a certain virus that's spreading its way across the country right now, West Nile, having been deliberately set loose on us. And Dr. Horowitz testified tonight. He will testify here about all of this really, really, really serious stuff. However, I do want to point out before we begin that up on my website tonight, I got all kinds of goodies for you. what you're about to hear is up there, a link to it, brilliant stuff, comedy. Just all sorts of things happening. That never-before-seen picture with myself and Zahi Hawass, the man we talked about last hour, with a particularly good photograph of the Sphinx in the background, very high detail, and you might want to take a look at that. That was taken, by the way, by Bob Crane. A video of a cat attack that's absolutely amazing. All of this on my website at artbell.com. One of the things up there is the following. You're just not going to believe this. Listen very carefully.
Crocodile hunter here in the wilds of Afghanistan, on the trail of the fierce and elusive Osama bin Laden. The bin Laden is a native of Saudi Arabia, but recently migrated to Afghanistan, where it caused no end of trouble upsetting the natural order of things, you know. Hold on, I think I see one now. You have to approach the bin Laden with extreme caution, and when you make the grab at him, don't go for the turban. It'll come right off. My preferred method is to just grab him by the beard. Gotcha! Oh, no, 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 no! Ornery little fella, ain't he? And just look at those teeth. Actually, I think those teeth could use a good brushing. And I just happen to have a nice wire brush here. All better now, except for this one tooth in the front here that just has to come out. Fortunately, a good wildlife management professional always carries a pair of pliers. Now many people think the only good bin Laden's a dead bin Laden, and kill him on sight. But I've found that his behavior can be modified quite effectively with neutering. And all you need for that is a nice sharp box cutter to cut off his nads like this. And then you can safely release him back into the wild, confident that he'll become docile in short order. And don't throw away the nads. They make a tasty treat when roasted slowly over an open fire and served up with red, white, and blue sauce, just the way you Yanks like them. Good day for now, mate. And be sure to tune in next time when we go off in search of the strange and wily Saddam Hussein.
Just one of the things tonight up on the website. We're going to get real serious in a moment. Stay right there. Okay, we're about to get very serious here. Dr. Leonard Horowitz is an internationally known authority in the overlapping fields of public health, behavioral science, emerging diseases, and bioterrorism. He received his doctorate in medical dentistry from Tufts University School of Dental Medicine in 1977, was awarded a postdoctoral fellowship in behavioral science at the University of Rochester, earned a Master of Public Health degree from Harvard, and another Master of Arts degree in Health Education from Beacon College, all before joining the research facility at Harvard. Dr. Horowitz is perhaps best known for the monumental national best-selling book, Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional, which recently resulted in the U.S. General Accounting Office investigating the man-made origin of AIDS theory. Dr. Horowitz's brilliant work in the field of vaccination risk awareness has prompted at least three world nations to change their vaccination policies. His recent stunning testimony, it was just in the news, before the U.S. Congress, a government reform committee, literally brought the hearing to a halt. Dr. Horowitz questioned government health officials regarding the Center for Disease Control and Prevention report, which showed a definite link between the mercury ingredient common to all vaccinations and the skyrocketing rates of autism and behavioral disorders affecting our children and the future of our nation. Dr. Horowitz's book, Death in the Air, Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare, focuses on the West Nile virus as an act of bioterrorism. Very recently, you may have heard that Senator Patrick Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, called for an investigation into the links between the recent West Nile virus outbreaks and bioterrorism. Dr. Horowitz is the principal pioneer and investigator of this theory. Here is Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Doctor, welcome.
Well, thank you, Art. Appreciate the invitation.
It's great to have you back. It's been, what, about 3 years?
Yep, you got it.
All right. Well, I was shocked, and I think a lot of the rest of the country was shocked, when Senator Leahy just sort of, it seemed like, out of the blue, called for an investigation into the possibility of the recent West Nile virus outbreaks being an act of bioterrorism. I think that really caught a lot of people by surprise. It could not have been, as it seemed at the time, sort of a spontaneous decision on his part. No way. There had to be an awful lot behind it, and I'm sure you know that story, don't you?
Yes, I know a fair amount. I know that they have in their hands one of the most incriminating documents that really shows that mainstream media has been completely off base in telling folks the first time that the West Nile virus appeared in North America was 1999. That's an outrageous lie. In fact, we have documentation, and so does the senator, that the virus itself, at least two strains of it, were sent from the United States to Saddam Hussein and Iraq for use in biological weapons research and development back in 1985.
God.
And that Centers for Disease Control supplied that documentation to not just the senator's office, but basically the entire Congress during an investigation into Gulf War Syndrome.
Okay, back up a little bit. We have documentation that the U.S. sent Saddam Hussein samples of the West Nile virus?
Along with 19 shipments of anthrax and various other biologicals.
And this occurred in what year, please?
Well, it occurred throughout the 1980s that it was well documented, and that was one of the issues that the senator was concerned about, although he did not come out with that in the mainstream press and cite that. I spoke to his press secretary, and David definitely admitted that and was very concerned about that, knew the senator was, and that was one of the reasons why,
along
with other documents, he was calling for this type of an investigation.
Doctor, I understand that we favored Iraq in the Iran-Iraq war. Perhaps that was the justification at the time for doing something like that, but even that wouldn't seem to justify sending such dangerous materials to somebody like Saddam Hussein, even in the 80s. I mean, what was the possible justification for doing that?
Well, I think you got to look at a profit motive. For example, when you consider who it was that was sending this type of thing, it's not often that this organization is cited. It's the American Type Culture Collection. That's what's in the congressional record. They are apparently a for-profit private entity that doles out biologicals for not just biological weapons research and development, but also cancer research, vaccine research and development. Many, in fact, most researchers think of it as a benign organization. But when you start passing it out all over the world to people who are less than trustworthy, and, I certainly
you're saying ostensibly the motivation then, at least on paper, would have been research and development and research in disease and all the rest of it. But we knew damn well what Iraq was doing over there, right?
Right. Well, also, I mean, you have to understand, I'm sure you do, that George H.W. Bush Sr. was supplying Saddam Hussein with military armaments
until
2 weeks before he invaded Kuwait.
Oh, yes.
Along with biologicals and chemicals, and that when the Gulf War troops went to the Gulf, they were not only fighting toxic vaccinations that our own government was supplying, but also exposures to biologicals and chemicals that we supplied to Saddam and that was covered up. There's no question about that, the major cover-up in regard to Gulf War syndrome.
Right now, our president is busily trying his very best to make a case to go to war with Iraq. And I note that as of yet, he has not given us any real specifics with regard to what he believes Saddam Hussein to have in his arsenal. And would one of the reasons why he hasn't spelled it out yet for the American public could possibly be that the reason he hasn't done that is because he knows damn well what Saddam has because we gave it to him.
I believe that. I mean, that's the fact. That's not even debatable.
Okay. So we've got to go fight the devil we created.
Exactly.
What it comes down to.
And I think I think one step beyond that, who's to say that the devil that we've created is not a partner in a global issue that we're facing, and that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at virtually the Bush administration, Bush family, having been invested in what amounts to genocide. And I define it. I don't use that term just superficially or sensationally. It is strictly defined out of Webster's dictionary as the mass killing of people for economic, political, and or ideological reasons. And when you really
So in other words, that's a very serious charge when you say genocide. So you mean in that we supplied materials that we're talking about right here.
Yeah, exactly. And look, and you have to understand who it is that is engaged in this type of activity. We're really not talking about who government officials would like to have you believe. We're not talking about, for example, in the anthrax case, the anthrax mailings case, you're not talking about like a single or white right-wing Christian patriot who's in his basement creating biologicals. You're talking about a well-researched, funded, high-tech organization such as a pharmaceutical company, such as one that has major links to the highest level in the government, and that's precisely the documentation that we lay out that I believe that the senator is aware of, and that part of why he called for this type of an investigation is because, for example, he's aware that who supplied Saddam Hussein with 19 shipments of anthrax during the 1980s was curated, the organization ATCC, American Type Culture Collection, was curated by Dr. Joshua Lederberg, who is past president of Rockefeller University, who in fact lied before the United States government, lied before the Congress, lied before the United States people, the American people.
And said what?
And said that, no, our troops during the Gulf War were not exposed to biologicals and chemicals, when in fact his own organization supplied them. And that this organization routinely works intimately with the pharmaceutical industrialists that are literally behind the scams that we're looking at, such as the West Nile.
All right, let's back up a little bit to West Nile virus itself. What the hell is West Nile virus? I understand it has spread to nearly every state in the Union, save mine and one or two others. It's everywhere in the U.S. now, even California, all the way to the West Coast. What is West Nile virus?
Well, it's technically it's called an arbovirus. It's a tree-like virus. It looks kind of like a tree. It has little branches. It's related to St. Louis encephalitis, Japanese encephalitis, and the earliest one in record is 1937 discovered in the West Nile region of northwest Uganda, and then shipped to Rockefeller University very quickly around 1938. There, in those labs, it was used. It was sent from there to the Yale University culture, the viral culture service at Yale. This is also related and funded largely by Rockefeller monies, and that from there, apparently, there's a fair amount of evidence that suggests it was sent to Plum Island Labs for experimentation there, and that there were...
For what reason? In other words, experimentation...
For biological warfare.
Well, was it that, or would they say, if I were to interview the right person, not biological warfare, this was something that we knew existed on Earth and we had to find a way, or we're trying to find a way to fight it?
Well, again, that's always what can be claimed. For example, when Nixon took over the Fort Detrick facilities in 1972 and said that we're turning swords into plowshares by making this the new home of the National Cancer Institute, and we're no longer going to have this act as biological weapons research and development here.
Right.
Essentially what he did was a cover, sending all of biological weapons research and development under the guise of cancer research. And again, every time you read a statement in the press, and you frequently see it, that we're only doing this for defense. Well, in order to have a vaccine or a defense, and I don't trust vaccines in the least to deliver defense, but I mean, there's many alternatives that we could talk about in terms of boosting immunity against infectious diseases, but the sacred cow of public health and the government is vaccines, because these are the vaccine industrials that are largely behind the scam, and it's a profit-making entity. And so what they're telling us is that we have to do prevention, we have to do defensive research, but in order to do defensive research, you have to have the biological weapon first.
You got to have the stuff. You got to have the
last
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And they're developing
stuff. There is that case to make. You say they make it every time, and I agree. They probably use that as a very convenient cover, and it's true to some degree, but it also allows them to then begin working on offensive uses, obviously, of what they're researching. And
exactly.
Yeah. West Nile virus is loose. I mean, cat's out of the bag, horse out of the barn, whatever. Too late. What's going to happen with West Nile now?
Well, what I really am very disturbed about is that this is now, they say, mutating. Now, that's very convenient.
It is mutating.
Well, they're talking about various strains that can cause various types of encephalopathies and neurological impairments, such as a polio-like syndrome. This just came out very recently. Now, again, that very disturbs me. Why? Because I look back last summer, and I see that in the press, even mainstream press, you had declared a new polio virus was produced at Rockefeller University Labs. So why, let's look at this rationally as human beings, Art. Why would you go about, if you've eradicated smallpox or polio,
right,
and then produce a whole new strain, creating a whole new threat for the sake of humanity? I think that that's insane. And I think that also that when we're looking about the fright that just occurred this past couple of days with the Bush administration's release of the smallpox vaccination recommendations for mass vaccinations in the wake of a single case of smallpox.
Yes.
You know, who has that? It's been eradicated for decades. Who has it is virtually only a few labs in Russia and the United States.
To make such a sweeping statement about vaccinations, I can only presume they know something that we don't know yet.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Call Art Bell. in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may recharge at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To recharge on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
It was about 2 weeks ago we started to get word that the blood supply is safe. Do you remember that? And I said, that's what they've said before, and you better take that with a word of caution. Pinch of salt, whatever it is you take those kind of things with. Well, listen to this breaking news right now from Atlanta, the Associated Press, no less. Government health officials are warning doctors that the West Nile virus can cause acute paralysis. That's acute paralysis. After the mosquito-borne virus apparently caused 6 people to become paralyzed, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention urge doctors to test patients for West Nile if they report sudden, painless paralysis but don't appear to have had a stroke. This warning comes as health officials confirmed that the West Nile virus can apparently be transmitted through blood transfusions and said that all blood donations will probably be screened for the virus as soon as a test can be developed. Birds are a natural host for the virus. That's the latest at this hour on West Nile. We'll be right back.
This is the end of side one. Please leave the cassette exactly where it is, flip it over, and begin again.
Just a little more from this just breaking Associated Press story. Dr. Jesse Goodman of the Food and Drug Administration said that all blood donations will probably be screened for the virus as soon as a test can be developed. He could not predict how long it would take to develop such a test or how much it might cost. What we're trying to do is jumpstart the process here, he said. But screening for the virus could prove difficult. West Nile is much harder to detect than a virus such as HIV because there are relatively small amounts of West Nile in tainted blood. Furthermore, a screening would have to detect the virus itself, not just antibodies the body produces in response to it, because the virus spends several days in the bloodstream before any symptoms show up. There you have it, Doctor. That's like latest breaking story I've got on West Nile. Kind of ominous.
Well, that's part of the picture. You know, as I was saying, Art, the whole not only West Nile virus, but also the smallpox and the anthrax scams, and I call them scams because what you're seeing is standard Machiavellian fare. That is, you're creating problems well in advance, and you're getting opportunity well in advance to produce the profit products and services, everything from these types of services, screening services, blood testing services, to pharmaceuticals. And I think that it's classic. This is absolutely classic. It fulfills what was discussed in the report from Iron Mountain to create as a substitute for standard militarization and population controls for burgeoning populations, to lower the populations. What you need to have is economic substitutes for standard military operations in the 21st century.
Doctor, now that West Nile virus is loose, who's at risk in this country right now, and what should we look for? What are the symptoms? I just want to get the base of this. In other words, people tend to look at the present threat, and God, there's mosquitoes out there, and birds carrying it, and so let's back to basics for just 1 second. Who's at risk here, and what are the symptoms you got to look out for?
Well, we've donated a fair amount of space on the website healingcelebrations.com to the West Nile issue. Who's at risk primarily is the people who are immune compromised, the elderly, children who have immune system problems. Those are the ones that are far and away the people who are suffering thus far. Again, if we're looking at new mutating types of West Nile viruses, which apparently we are, you know, it's a question as to what's going to happen in the future. What we're recommending on the HealingCelebrations.com website is that people begin to take responsibility for boosting their immune systems holistically, naturally, every way possible. We're talking about physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, environmentally, and above all, spiritually. And that's what we ourselves are doing.
Were you aware of this paralysis aspect of West Nile?
Well, yeah, it's part of the encephalopathies and the meningitis types of effects that this virus has been known to produce in some cases. They're rare. They're very rare. The vast majority of people who are infected with West Nile have not even minor symptoms. They may be at worst a little flu-like symptoms, maybe a little rash. That's about it. People ultimately who are immune compromised, however, can go on to develop these inflammations of the brain and that swellings of the brain, impairments of neurological functioning, and as your article stated, then perhaps potentially polio-like problems, paralysis.
This doesn't sound like a very effective population control disease. I mean, if you're imagining that to be the, you know, the motivation behind its release, which you imagine, I know, and Senator Leahy does, it's not very effective from a population control point of view, at least in its present form, right?
Well, there are a variety of ways to control populations. There's both depopulation, there's mind control, psyops type of operations.
Yes.
And that's clearly what we're looking at. And on, you know, we've posted a great article on the website, the tetrahedron.org and or the healingcelebrations.com. If you go down the right side of the page, you'll see smallpox and anthrax as a pharmaceutical industry scam. What we're saying is that dig deep...
Doctor, we're going to get to smallpox and all the rest of it, but I, with regard to West Nile itself, would you agree that it's not a particularly good population control? You said you think it's psyops. In other words, it's released just to scare the crap out of everybody, basically.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it's doing. And on top of that, it's creating infection control industries, infectious diseases industries, new ways of handling everything from mail to, you know, what we're doing for prevention. New vaccinations, exactly like what you're saying. That what you read was a great press release for the company who's preparing that blood screening test for West Nile. And those companies are very few, and when you dig deep, they all come to the same largely British-controlled pharmaceutical industrialists. And it is one time after another. If you saw it just once or twice, you know, you could say, oh, it's just a coincidence. But every single time you start to dig in this disgusting pit of iniquity, you begin to find the same heavy-duty pharmaceutical industrialists that are in bed with the highest-level public officials of this great land.
All right, let's go to anthrax for a second, and then we'll talk smallpox. Anthrax, we were attacked in this country by somebody or somebodies with this extremely pure, I've heard weapons grade used frequently when referring to it, weapons grade anthrax. Now, we still don't really exactly know who did it. There are some people under suspicion. Do you believe it will turn out to be an individual within the United States that released this? Do you believe there will be foreign connections? What do you believe ultimately we will find?
We never know. A substantial 25-page with 65 reference report. It's on the tetrahedron.org website. It's cited there as anthrax mailings, industrial sabotage, and if you go and click on it, I have limited the suspects, the individual as well as organizational suspects, down to about a handful. I do not believe that it was an individual. There's no question in my mind that this was a conspiracy. And who is at the heart and soul of it is a top American contractor for not only biological weapons, but virtually every aspect of defense and energy.
Of course, it seems rather coincidental to the American public that the 9/11 event, horrendous event, occurred, and then immediately the anthrax hit. Now, big coincidence or no coincidence at all?
No coincidence at all. In fact, the headline on the article that we posted on HealingCelebrations.com explains that this is a whole agenda that's been evolving for years before September 11th. and that ultimately the same old pharmaceutical industrialists who are linked to the military, medical, petrochemical industrialists, and again, there's only a few, a handful, and we cite the names, we cite all the individual identities on the website, and also they're the ones that are exposed.
Okay, but this would seem to, you would seem to be saying there was complicity between Al-Qaeda and between those who released the anthrax.
Well, for example, did you know that the Al-Qaeda had in their caves in Afghanistan the plans for Bioport, which is the sole anthrax vaccine manufacturer in the United States that's controlled virtually from the British oligarchy?
No, I didn't know that.
Yep, and that the Bioport, when you begin to look at Bioport and the chief officials there, your thesis becomes more clear and profound. You're looking at a very, very wealthy Saudi who's in charge, who was investigated by the United States Congress because of illegitimacies in the production and utilization of the anthrax vaccine. And this fellow has apparently links to the wealthiest families in Saudi Arabia who owns this company. Again, the company is at the top, it's virtually a subsidiary or corporate shell for Porton Down, which is the British principal biological weapons testing facility for the British government. And so when we suddenly realize that this individual, and there are investigators that have advanced fairly good evidence that there's links between this group and what is called the Carlyle Group, which is the 11th top defense contractor in the United States, of which the president, past president, H.W. Bush, as well as the Secretary of State, James Baker III, are major players. It's directed by Frank Carluzzi III, previous CIA director, and that apparently, and in fact for certain, the Bin Laden family had a several million-dollar investment, according to Associated Press, in this organization up until a week after 9/11, when there was so much heat coming down, so much of the investigation was centering on where the money ties are to organized terrorism, that the Bush family was being implicated in its parent financial links to the same companies that the Bin Laden family was invested in. Now, if you begin to realize that the Bioport is one perfect example of this type of global menace, and that this organization not only was investigated and found to be deficient in numerous ways, they couldn't even get the FDA licensure on the anthrax vaccine because it was so toxic and poorly labeled, mismanaged.
Anyway, the bottom line here is you don't think it was some crazy individual or even crazy single scientist that did this, but part of an overall plan that wound right into 9/11 and went up to the highest levels of our very own government.
You know, I was pleased on December the 11th. I got in touch with William Broad for the New York Times.
First time callers, area code 775-727-1222.
Now, he's the anthrax mailings investigator for the New York Times. He said, Len, he says, yeah, it seems all roads seem to lead to Battelle. 2 days later, in his article that followed my pleading with him, he came out with the truth. And that truth is this, that particular strain of hyper-weaponized, silica-cut, electromagnetized, hyper-concentrated anthrax was produced under the Central Intelligence Agency's Project Clear Vision, quote, Clear Vision, and that Dugway Proving Grounds was administered by Battelle, supplied by Battelle, and that's precisely the only two places in the world that that extraordinarily unique type of anthrax was found.
Even assuming everything you said to be fact, Doctor, you still haven't made the case or are able to prove the case that this was intentionally by those who did the research set loose as part of a larger conspiracy that has yet to be locked down, certainly, or we'd be putting people in jail, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's difficult in a simple program like you have to lay it all out, but I can tell you, if you...
No, you can lay out. It's not that hard to lay out that answer. In other words, there would be people on their way to jail right now if it was a proven conspiracy and we had the names of those involved.
Well, let me first of all say that I alerted the FBI 1 week before the first anthrax mailing was announced. I personally walked into my local FBI in northern Idaho and I said, you have a major anthrax scam unfolding. You better, for the sake of the American people, get on top of it.
And what did you walk in there? They're going to say, okay, what do you know? What is this based on, doctor?
Well, my pleading with them and urging, and finally it took them 6 months before they came, was based on all the documentation. When you lay out all of the roots of this particular type of white-collar bioterrorism, and you see the global industrialists that have been consistently responsible for genocide. For example, there are three major pharmaceutical drug and vaccine companies that have already in court lost their defenses in regard to plaintiffs' cases brought against them for AIDS virus contaminated blood products.
All right, well, there's
the
another
same company
we'll
that are behind
that.
The smallpox and anthrax.
All right, let's stay with anthrax for a second. Obviously, if you walk into an FBI office and you say you've got a big anthrax problem, and a week later you've got a big anthrax problem, I mean, they're going to, even though it was 6 months, they finally came back to you. And you must have laid it out for them when you went in. You can't just go in and say, we've got a big anthrax problem.
And where it stops is the FBI's hands are tied. They cannot investigate thoroughly because the Central Intelligence Agency is implicated, as well as the investors in the major corporations that HHS Secretary Tommy Thompson is purchasing the smallpox and anthrax vaccines from.
Basically, the Bush administration
officials are heavily implicated, so the FBI cannot investigate.
Okay, what would be the motivation of the Bush administration to essentially mail anthrax to itself? I mean, that's simplifying, but that's essentially what you're saying happened, right?
Well, look who it was that it was sent to, and that tells you a lot about motive. It was sent to, number one, the mainstream press, and number two, to two Democratic senators, Leahy and Daschle.
That's right.
And that the fact is that those individuals have been the worst or the least supporters of the Bush administration. They've been the greatest problems for the Bush administration, particularly Senator Leahy, who came out with concerns about West Nile being bioterrorism. He had blocked nine appointees that President Bush had put forth.
Having said that, though, how can you narrow it down to the administration itself versus somebody perhaps in sick sympathy with the administration or conservative values or even somebody in the Christian right?
I think it was just simply like the mailing to the media. It was a message. It was a message that was being sent out for two reasons. One was to alert the public to the fright, to get the public behind the legislation and enactment of additionally coercive legislation, such as the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, where they take virtually entire constitutional rights away from individuals, and like you've seen in recent days with this proposition for smallpox vaccination, the ability to incarcerate people, quarantine them, force vaccinate them, force drug them. Now, in this particular case, that Bush administration policy does not allow for forced, but yet it is clearly an experimental program. The state Model State Emergency Powers Act allows for state's governors to arrest the entire state's constitution and literally force people, and with no legal recourse whatsoever, into quarantine facilities, virtual concentration camps in urban areas with tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people exposed to a biological. And so now what we're seeing is, number one, the whole thing was to get the public, you know, in my humble opinion, the whole thing was centered on focus on the media to get the public behind the allowing for this type of I can only say totalitarian and fascist type of legislation. And then when you send it to Congress and legislators on Capitol Hill, that's a message to them that says, you will pass this type of legislation.
In other words, you can't propose draconian laws without draconian problems.
Right, and it is standard Machiavellian theory and practice. You create the problems, and then you come along right away with the solutions.
and the motivation for all of this?
Well, besides...
In other words, you create a problem, then you pass a draconian laws. Okay, I've got all that, but I mean, why?
Well, you're making vast fortunes off of humanity's suffering. That's what I'm saying. In the report from Iron Mountain, this is what this was called. This is called non-lethal warfare. It is the subject matter, the focus of the book Death in the Air: Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare. Now, think about the title. It came out not after 9/11. It came out 3 months before September 11th. And it laid it out. Who are the people that support global terrorism? Osama bin Laden, excuse me, where did he get his $5 billion over a 10-year period from Central Intelligence?
All right, hold on, Doctor. We'll be right back. Dr. Len Horowitz is my guest. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
I've been drifting on the sea of heartbreak, trying to get myself ashore for so long. Listen to the strangest stories, wondering where it all went wrong for so long.
Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
Certainly is. This is Art Bell. My guest is Dr. Len Horowitz. And this is going to be a rough one. I suggest you get buckled in for this one. We will proceed in a moment. Once again, here is Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Dr. Horowitz, I'm able... because I have a computer right next to me, to monitor literally hundreds or even thousands of comments hurled at me during the program or questions about a guest that we have on. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that it's running about half and half. About half the people think that you're an American hero exposing conspiracies that these people obviously also believe in. The other half of the people think you are a Bush-bashing, Bush-hating, conspiracy-believing, anti-American. You know, I'll just serve it up to you straight. That's the way it's coming across. You're either one or the other. And the audience would appear to, at this point, be about split down the middle as they listen to you.
Well, you know, the proof is in the documentation. Art, you know, I neglected to give out the number to get the book Death in the Air for people who are not on the web. So let me just first do that first.
Sure.
toll-free number is 888-508-4787. Especially for the people who disbelieve, the documentation says it all. It's in Death in the Air.
Death in the Air.
888-508-4787. And if you're driving out there, don't get into an accident. There's an easy way to remember it. It's simply 888-50-VIRUS. V-I-R-U-S. 50-VIRUS.
Yeah. When did you write this?
The book, about almost 3 years ago. It came out 3 months before September 11th, so it's not a Johnny-come-lately project. And, you know, honestly, for the 50% of the population that can't believe this, you know, the reason why they can't is because...
All right. I might be one of them. I mean, let me lay it out for you, Doctor, and then you can work around me the way you want to try to work
sure,
around
I'll be
you.
Happy
but,
to
but,
show you
here
why
it is. Here it is. Look, I'm an American. You're an American. We fought wars. We've done a lot of things in America. But, you know, I still believe in America. And while I'm not a big Bush fan, I don't think President Bush is a person who would intentionally poison his own people. Or for that matter, most others in the government. There's always bad people out there. But as a policy, as a conspiracy, as an intent from the administration to poison its own people, to create scares that will create draconian law that will give them more power, I have a hard time believing that, Doctor.
All right, well, first of all, I'll explain why it is that you have a hard time believing that.
Sure.
Because you were raised by loving human beings who instilled in you ethics and morals and values.
Yes.
And you cannot conceive that there would be people that would not operate on the same level of love and integrity.
No, that's not true. Doctor, I can't imagine those people. That's why we have police. That's why we have the FBI and so on and so on.
But
there are those
from the
people,
White House?
But, yeah, that's the part that...
Okay,
that...
now let me give you some additional fuel for consideration. This comes from John Loftus. It is part of the release that we have on the HealingCelebrations.com website on the smallpox and anthrax story that where it predates. This whole agenda predated 9/11 by years. That's the smallpox, anthrax vaccines, and West Nile, as we detail in the book Death in the Air. All is an agenda that's been evolving for years. Now, this is from John Loftus. He's an attorney. He's a former U.S. Department of Justice Nazi crime, war crimes prosecutor for the United States government. He's also the president of the Florida Holocaust Museum. Here is his quote regarding the Bush family. Quote.
775-727-1295. West of the Rockies, call toll-free 1-800-618-8255.
Not to mention specific names. Now, you and I...
Oh, okay.
You and I talked about this before the show, and there are ways to say things without saying them, and I don't want you to mention specific corporation names, that sort of thing.
Well, I don't believe these banks are still today. This is back in World War II days.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll just continue, and I'll leave out the names, Art.
Yeah.
The Bushes have to known how the secret money circuit worked because they were on the board of directors in both directions, the one bank out, the other bank in. Moreover, the size of their compensation was commensurate with their risk of Nazi money launderers. The bottom line is harsh, and this speaks to your question, Art. The bottom line is harsh, Loftus writes. It's bad enough that the Bush family helped raise the money for Fritz Tyson's, arguably Germany's wealthiest industrialist, to give Hitler his start in the 1920s. But giving aid and comfort to the enemy in a time of war is treason. End quote. Now, regarding treason against this great nation, the fact of the matter is that the Rockefellers had been found guilty of the same thing back in World War II, at the end of World War II, as they were engaged in bringing the Nazis out of Germany along with the Nazi gold. A federal court judge had stated that they were treasonous for having fueled Hitler's war machine and withholding fuel and oil from the Brits, our allies.
All of this is all fine and well, but it doesn't yet say, it says, well, you know, Bush, you said, must have known. That's what you said. He must have known. Well, a lot of people didn't know about Enron. I mean, that was apparently a pretty well closely guarded secret until kaboom. And then, obviously, a lot of people didn't know that was going on. I mean, you didn't just document that George Bush knew. You said he must have known.
That's Loftus' statement, and there's no question that these people are not stupid. They don't sit around playing tiddlywinks. They study, they know, they've got investigators out there with the millions of dollars that they can pay to have sophisticated investigations done, particularly when it comes to economics.
Well, wait, I mean, but what you're saying is that you believe that pharmaceutical companies, in concert with, British hierarchy and American hierarchy, as in the Bush administration, have spread these diseases intentionally in order to sell the cures. That's what it comes down to,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's worse than that, because look who, it was in the newspaper today, New York Times headlines dealing with the birth control pill RU486.
Yeah.
Do you know who owns that? First of all, what do you do when you 86 something, Art?
Yeah.
You trash it. You get rid of it, right?
Yeah.
RU486?
486, yeah, I got it.
RU4 trashing fetuses? Well, do you know who owns that? That is owned by the Population Council, that birth control pill. Who owns that? It was Lawrence Rockefeller that put together the Population Councils that gave rise to virtually everyone that exists today.
Let's talk about that for a second. In other words, behind all of this is also, I'm sure you believe, some motivation to reduce the
population.
The population, right?
That's the second day. First is economics money-making. The second is it goes with a political agenda to reduce currently the half the United States population have to go, according to these people.
Half.
That's documented. It's not, I'm not making that up. You can read that in the Council of Foreign Relations, Foreign Affairs Journal. That's the most esteemed political periodical in the world.
All right. Well, of the various methods that are perhaps available to reduce population, certainly birth control is preferred over fatal diseases raging around the world, killing half the world's population. I mean,
quite honestly, frankly, I don't buy that. Although that's what they say.
Well, do you believe that the world's population at some point is going to have to be controlled? I mean, you know what the projections are, right?
I'm not going to argue that.
You do agree with that. You do agree.
Well, do I agree? It depends on the research. I can't agree with that. I can't, because A, I have not done enough study in it, and I can't say something that I'm not well studied on.
Well, in other words, the population estimates, the estimates of the percentage of increase in population of the world, when we already clearly have dire environmental problems and so forth.
Yes, but the problem is, who's creating those problems? They blame the drivers for being lazy. Meanwhile, they suppressed all the technologies. You know that. They suppressed the Tesla technologies. We could have had free automobiles, you know, driving on virtually water. They've suppressed all the magnificent technologies, and instead what they're utilizing is non-renewable energy resources.
But see, I don't know that. I don't know that we could have had automobiles running on water.
Yeah, I have personally witnessed and interviewed a number of investigators worldwide, particularly the Tesla technology, alternating current, everything that we have today in modern world, from the AC current to Marconi did not discover the radio. That was Tesla's technology that Marconi took.
Now, clearly, Tesla's stuff was all taken and is a big secret. It is all classified.
Yeah,
you know, I buy into that.
Yeah, so now let me just go back to the issue at hand, that this deals with a globalist agenda to reduce populations by, let's say, half, because that's what it states in the Council of Foreign Relations published Foreign Affairs Journal.
Uh-huh.
Again, David Rockefeller controls that. By the way, the fellow we talked about earlier, Dr. Joshua Lederberg, who was past president of Rockefeller University and curator over the American Type Culture Collection that sent Saddam Hussein 19 shipments of anthrax, this man is currently the Council on Foreign Relations, Biological Weapons and Bioterrorism Study Group Director. So that's his place currently in this whole emergency management and educational issue and dynamics in regard to response to bioterrorism.
Mm-hmm.
He's at the forefront of it. Now, let me refer you, when I went to Capitol Hill and I testified, not before the Judiciary Committee, but briefly before the Government Reform Committee that was investigating the links between autistic spectrum disorders and the mercury in the vaccines, I happened upon, in the Capitol building, absolutely stunning information, and I want to share it with you. It's on an article that's posted on HealingCelebrations.com website. It's titled Disease Deities on Capitol Hill Address Autism. And what you will see is a picture that I took from the dome of the rotunda of the Capitol building. This was the day before I was to go and discuss in the hearings the mercury issue. I go into the Capitol building, which is the premier legislative action site in the United States, and on the dome of the rotunda, there's a picture that I have posted on this article on the web right now. And it shows an angelic creature, the god Mercury, holding the pharmaceutical insignia in his right hand, and in his left hand, a bag of money that he's placing down on legislators' desks as they're penning legislation. So that's an interesting little tidbit from Capitol Hill. And then what you also have is a photograph of the Roosevelt Memorial, and this says it all. Inscribed in the Roosevelt Memorial in Washington, it says this. It says, "They who seek to establish systems of government based on the regimentation of all human beings by a handful of individual rulers, call this a new order or a new world order. It is not new, and it is not orderly." That's what is inscribed on the Roosevelt Memorial. Now, if you look at the United States dollar bill, it says the same thing in another way. In Latin, Nova Ordo Seclorum, new order out of chaos, or in the case that we've been discussing, biologicals and threats of bioterrorism, it is managed chaos.
When President Bush, one prior, mentioned new world order, there was a furor. It just drove everybody crazy, and then all of a sudden the president never muttered, that I'm aware of, those words again. Was he simply out a little early from your point of view, or what?
No, he simply leaked what he knew, just like Roosevelt knew what's going on.
I know, but it caused so much trouble.
We love this nation.
It fired up people, just like you.
God has blessed this great nation. It's time we, the people, bless God by utilizing the correct choices, by making the correct choices. And among those choices, we've got people on Capitol Hill that are completely untrustworthy, that turn a blind eye to the truth, that are like the monkeys, see no evil, speak no evil, and hear no evil. And that we, the people, have got to assert ourselves. Unfortunately, what's going on is that we're Prozac'd out. You know, I often said, give people television, entertainment, and Prozac, and you've got control over everybody. And ultimately, we the people have not come forward. We're so busy, and they've got us so busy and so distracted. Here's a good example.
All right, wait a minute. You can give us the example. There I have your definition of what the New World Order, what you believe it means. If I were to ask President Bush, the present President Bush, or the prior one, what they meant by New World Order, what do you think their response would be?
Here's the distraction. I certainly don't believe that their response would be that the New World Order is something that world wrestling champions would use as their slogan to promote the scam of wrestling. That's what they've done. They've taken that term that the president used, which really is indicative of the multinational corporate virtual fascist evolution into globalistic economy, and not caring about people, putting money first and politics first before people's health and safety, and that ultimately that's what this evolution into a new world order is. And the biggest issue is that they have a full intention.
You're telling me again,
the United States population along with half the globe's population by half.
You're telling me again what you think it is. I asked you, what do you think they would say it is?
You know, I can't speak for the president.
Well, don't you think the president might say that it would be a world where there are not wars, where there is not terror around every corner, where, in other words, he would make a very, very different case.
Yes.
In the
book Death in the Air, Art, I have relayed the report from Iron Mountain. Have you read the report from Iron Mountain?
Long time ago.
Okay. Do you recall in there that it said, yes, we want to have this evolution into globalistic peace and that what we need to do that, because all economies have been based on militarization and wars for millennia.
And that's ours too.
Okay, so what they said we needed to do was transition into this peaceful method by having substitutes, economic substitutes for military. And what they proposed was a form of slavery in which humanity would not know they were enslaved, i.e. the pharmaceuticals and the frights into demanded and required injections and druggings. And that's part of this evolution into such a free, loving New World Order.
All right, all right. Hold it right there. We're at the bottom of the hour. Is it a loving New World Order? Or is it enslavement directly ahead? I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
It's shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, but meantime. Sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring. But you don't see too many faces. Coming in out of the rain and hear the jazz go down.
Be it sight, sound, smell or touch, there's something inside that we need so much. The sight of a touch or the scent of a sound or the strength of an oak roots deep in the ground. The wonder of flowers to be covered and then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again. Or to fly to the sun without burning a wing. To lie in the meadow and hear the grass sing. To have all these things in our memories torn and these things to come.
Take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 775-727-1222 or call the wildcard line at 775-727-1295. To talk with Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
I don't know. All of this is a ride, and you're certainly on one tonight. All of this also, for me, conjures up visions of Hulk Hogan coming out as world leader onto some sort of balcony, addressing the world's serfs and slaves, and telling us what we will do, and ministering out justice and punishment to those who don't do it. WWF style.
This is the end of side one. Please leave the cassette exactly where it is, flip it over, and begin again.
The mass is having to Hulk down. You know, one of my fast blasters, who fancies himself at the top of the conspiratorial ladder, just found himself a mentor. And so, you know, he says, geez, I thought I was conspiratorial. Dr. Horowitz really puts me to shame. Doctor, if all this is true, or even a good portion of it, then why have not people, good Americans, in all these institutions and government... funded programs in the government itself. Why have they not come forward?
Oh, well, they have. For example, I'll give you a great example. There's a woman by the name of Elizabeth Baumgartner who is an insider. She's an attorney as well as a PhD in pharmacology. She runs the Genomic Institute in Cleveland. She was incarcerated 2 days ago. The FBI came and arrested her, put her in jail. She is an American now political prisoner.
For what? They put her in jail for what?
They put her in jail for citing a fellow by the name of Van Harp, who is the FBI investigator for the anthrax issue in the Battelle region. Battelle Memorial Institute, as I mentioned earlier, was the principal source of that hyper-weaponized anthrax that was mailed. She, as an inside player, knew a lot, and she was spouting a lot. She was going on national radio. They came and they got her. She's in jail right now. I'm working with Amnesty International, Art, and one of the things that we're currently funding...
Yeah, but you didn't answer the question. They came and got her on what specific charge?
They still come forward, and they're incarcerated.
But on what specific charge, Doctor?
You're gonna be a mind-blower. Have you seen, over the last few years, psychological literature that indicates that people who discuss broad conspiracy theories are suffering from neurosis, if not psychosis? They arrested her on charges that she's psychologically unfit, and she is then causing problems for people. And so that's what they've got. That's what they're holding her on.
Are you saying they're holding her on some psychological charge?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And the only way they can usually do that is to suggest that you are a danger to yourself or others, right?
That's right. And according to her attorney, that's what they're holding her on. Her attorney called me within hours of her arrest. And so this is an issue that I think we're going to see more of. People, good people, are coming forward. You know, there's a lot of people who are disappearing, too. You look at, for example, Don Wiley. He's the Harvard and Hughes Institute investigator, world-class virologist working on genetics of biological weapons. His sister called me and said, I believe that the police aren't telling me what I need to know. Dr. Horowitz, can you help?
Actually, there have been quite a few people working on biological-type things that have disappeared in a somewhat suspicious manner, yes?
Yes. About now, I think the toll is up to about 24. He was one of the first.
Well, all right, then there's this, Dr. Horowitz. Think about it a little bit. I mean, as outspoken as you are, I can hardly even keep you reined in here at all. If this were true, you'd be a dead man. And if you already haven't been killed, then you're on a list.
Well, there's no question that I am on a list because I make myself that way, and I'm a very, very high profile. I am in their face consistently. And, you know, if it wasn't for God and the graces of God and the prayers of tens of, not hundreds of thousands of people out there that support the work that we do for humanity and the American people and this great nation, I probably would have been X'd out a long time ago.
Well, that's my point. I mean, why is it, if what you're saying is true, that we haven't yet found you in a burned-out hulk of a car off a mountainside somewhere, you know?
You know, because, again, we all die in our right time. It's not my time yet, and I still have some work to do, apparently. You know, again, for God and these great people who support the truth.
So that's your only answer. It's not time yet. In other words, as outspoken as you are, you'd be right up there at the head of the list.
You know, I don't know about you, Art, but I'm a firm believer in God. You're talking to a person who should have died three times in my life, that I was spared miraculously. There's no rational explanation for me to be here right now. Now, I'm not saying that these people have attempted to kill me. Thank God, praise God, I don't believe I have had any serious threats. Colleagues of mine have been shot and some killed. Thank God I haven't. And so all I can tell you is...
Well, there are only two possible things to conclude from this. Either what you're saying is not true and so there's no one out there to kill you, or...
Or I'm a lone voice crying in a wilderness. When you go up, even your show, Art, you know, you've got a large following, but, you know, you're no match, nor am I, nor is anybody, for mainstream media, for daytime television, daytime radio programs. You know, I've served...
Well, I pride myself in not trying to be a match for them, Doctor.
Well, that's great, and that's where I would go also, and I have gone. But, you know, I was on Fox, for example. I was asked as an expert to be on Fox to articulate issues with regard to West Nile. Over the last 2 months, I've been on three times. And they will not allow me to talk about issues. They told me in advance, Dr. Horowitz, we know your position regarding the toxic pesticide sprayings. Please don't say anything about the pesticide sprayings.
Okay, we'll get to pesticide sprays in a moment. Right, but the FBI actually did come to you, did it not, suspecting you in the anthrax mailings?
Yeah, they wanted to make me a suspect. They came to interrogate me.
Why?
Because they... Why?
Yeah, why?
Because they're loony. They're absolutely despicable. The fact is that I had been, again, for the sake and safety of the American people and family and friends, I went to the FBI 1 week before anybody knew anything, that anything was going to happen with anthrax. And I said, you have...
In what office?
In the Coeur d'Alene office from Northern Idaho.
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, all right. And you said to them...
And I first, the day before, I walked in. You know how I... Let me tell you how I got it. How I got this unfolding scam.
Okay.
Peter Jennings on, I believe it was the 27th of September, came on with his ABC broadcast, completed it this way. He said, tomorrow, we're going to discuss anthrax. We're going through your fears, one by one.
Right.
Day by day.
Right.
Good night.
Right.
And the next day, it was a third of the ABC News segment was a sales scam for Cipro. It was an infomercial showing panicked New Yorkers rushing to their pharmaceutical drugstores to get purchase for $700 for a 60-day supply of Cipro,
right.
Which if you studied Cipro, which I had, even in the physician's desk reference to the American Medical Association said that this was not the drug of choice for anything relating to pneumonia, which anthrax resolves into or goes into that causes death in anthrax. So it had now also been never tested in anyone under 18 years of age. So here they were, carte blanche, issuing prescriptions for Cipro. By December, 32,000 New Yorkers and Washington people were taking Cipro.
Well, the government itself was issuing Cipro to those exposed, right?
Yes, so you know, if you followed the whole story from 3 years earlier, as I had, you saw that unprecedented, somehow the pharmaceutical powers and that one company, whose name I will not mention, who owned Cipro, somehow wheeled and dealed and got the Food and Drug Administration to do something they've never done. That is, unprecedented selection of one single hyper-expensive antibiotic.
Right.
When you had doxycycline, tetracycline, virtually anything killed Cipro, penicillin.
Actually, I did hear that. I heard that these other cyclins also did the job. And, you know, you kind of heard him say, well, maybe not as powerful, not quite as good, but they do the job.
Yeah, and they were not nearly as risky, and they were far more proven, less toxic, more proven, far less expensive. You could buy, and there were companies that came forward that offered free antibiotics that the government turned down. Now, that again, HHS Secretary Tommy Thompson purchased it all. And then after that, within another couple months, $500 million worth of useless, unproven, highly toxic, risky vaccines containing everything from formaldehyde and formalin that you preserve corpses with to mercury, aluminum, neurologically impairing chemicals, elements. And then that's not the ingredients. You know what's in all vaccines? All vaccines are made of bacterial and viral components.
Right.
As well as foreign RNA and DNA from God knows where. Bacteria, viruses, fungus, yeast, chicken embryos, bovine fetal serum, monkey kidney tissues. This is modern medicine. This is a witch's brew. It is a scam, Art.
Listen,
the whole thing
let me
is
ask
a
you,
royal scam.
Let me ask you about a smaller part of what might be a royal scam or not. I never did previously in my life until the last few years begin to get a flu shot. Now, this last year, I had a flu shot and then came down with a very mysterious, horrible fever that lasted a long time, a really high fever. It wasn't the flu. I never sneezed, coughed, snotted, did anything normally like you would have with the flu, but I came down with this mysterious, horrid temperature that kept spiking up and down, up and down, up and down, and had me shivering, you know, curled up in a ball. A really bad temperature, and I'm not sure I relate it to the flu virus shot that I took, but... I'm not sure I don't either. And
I will definitively link it for you.
Oh.
First of all, you know, I hate to say I told you so, but I think I told you so the last time you interviewed me. Remember I told you that we produced a tape called Horowitz on Vaccines that lays out what specifically the fact is that my mother, among tens of thousands of others who got the flu vaccine, ended up dying of Guillain-Barré, a very common vaccine side effect. Now, here's what happens. When you get injected with flu, influenza virus particles, combined with other proteins from God knows where, could be chicken embryos, could be little yeast cell cultures that they grow it in, and then combine that with mercury and aluminum and formaldehyde and formalin and monosodium glutamate, MSG, as preservatives and stabilizers for the vaccines. All vaccines contain those. Then what happens is that those little particles enter your bloodstream and they combine, they attach themselves to your own host cell proteins. That forms what's called an antigenic complex. The scientists call it an antigenic complex. Now, your little white blood cell bodyguards going around trying to find out what is you and what is not you and try to gobble up and destroy foreign invaders now get fooled because they see the complex and they start to say, oh, boy, look at this. Our own body part looks like it's a foreign agent.
Yeah, they went wild.
So they begin to attack and destroy. It's called autoimmune.
Yeah, that's what happened. My white count went berserk.
That's right. Now, here's the short list of the current plagues linked to vaccine ingredients, vaccine contaminants, or just plain vaccine injuries. Autoimmune diseases. All of these follow the same exact pattern as I just described. That's the pathological pathway to chronic fatigue immune dysfunction, fibromyalgia, lupus, MS, ALS and Lou Gehrig's disease, chronic crippling rheumatoid arthritis, adult and juvenile type 1 diabetes. That's autoimmune diabetes. Crohn's disease, Guillain-Barré, as I mentioned, Stephen Johnson syndrome, Bell's palsy, and many others. This is what is going on. Now, guess who makes the money off of all of these chronically ill people? The same people who produce the vaccines.
Yeah.
It's a scam.
Well, that's, I just, you know, I mean, you can certainly make the connection between those who manufacture vaccines and the fact that there's a problem, but I don't know if you have yet absolutely connected the fact that the people who make the vaccines made the problem.
Look, as I sat on the congressional panel, just below the congressman, I was a U.S. autism ambassador. I sat with five other ambassadors and one other individual selected by Christopher Shays. And we cross-examined CDC and NIMH and FDA officials who were lying through their teeth. Art, I hold in my possession a classified Centers for Disease Control Commission report that states that the mercury alone in the childhood vaccinations would accumulate far beyond the Environmental Protection Agency's toxicity limit and cause neurological and behavioral disorders in our nation's youth. And they classified that. They never released it, and the congressman did not want to talk about it. When I wanted to talk about it...
East of the Rockies, call toll-free 1-800-825-5033.
He said, Dr. Horowitz, this is no time and place to have this discussion.
All right, again, doctor, that is a... An allegation that's unsubstantiated with reference to the allegation you made. I eliminated that. I want you to know because you said must be you didn't document was, and so we've got to be very careful.
What's
here.
That? What is that, Art?
You said must be on the take. Instead of and when you say that must be that's not proof. That's Dr. Horowitz saying
I'll get
think.
You proof. You know what?
Get me proof. Yeah, get me proof.
Who is the major political lobbyist on Capitol Hill? What industry? It's not insurance. It's not even banking. It's not even petroleum. It is the pharmaceutical industrialists.
Yeah, okay, fine. They are, and they're
so
big.
They
I don't deny.
Every high-level public official.
I would never deny they're an extremely strong, effective lobby. No question. No, I concede that to you. But that still doesn't mean that they create the diseases and spread the diseases that they then go out and make money on. I mean, I'm not denying it could be possible, but it doesn't prove it.
Okay, there's a tremendous amount of documentation, U.S. government documents laid out, the reason why the United States General Accounting Office, as well as Amnesty International, is about to launch an investigation into the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola, and the documentation therein, I have reprinted, as you well know, in black and white, the United States government contracts under which numerous AIDS-like and Ebola-like viruses were produced by the United States Army's sixth top biological weapons contracting lab called Litton Bionetics. Do we really want to cop to the fact that it is our nation that has likely caused the AIDS genocide?
If it's true, we do, yes.
Well, you know what? Then if it's really true, then why would the GAO have just committed scientific fraud? That's another. On the HealingCelebrations.com website, the last article that's on the right-hand side is U.S. GAO commits scientific fraud in the AIDS inquiry. We're about to launch a lawsuit against the United States General Accounting Office for taking my testimony and totally distorting it, editing it, and I've got it recorded. And they then lied about the scientific researchers from Aaron Diamond Institute that cited, as I have, that the vaccines are the most likely cause of the spread of HIV/AIDS.
I don't doubt that the vaccines have their risk, but what they would argue is, yes, there are risks in, attendant to the distribution of vaccines, but the pluses outweigh the risks, and that
for example
with polio, and
you don't believe me, and 50%, as you mentioned, of the people emailing you now do not believe me. I have said it to you, and I'll say it to you again. I'll go to my grave saying it. If you do not believe me, then go ahead and get vaccinated and be prepared to suffer the great wonderful outcomes that the government promises you that you're going to get from getting vaccinated. The smallpox vaccine, by the way, yesterday's Bush administration's proposal for smallpox,
yes,
you didn't read too much that the fact is that it's totally experimental. Cowpox is what they're injecting you with. That's precisely what it is.
Right.
And it's a totally experimental. They're going to have you sign an informed consent statement before you get injected because they don't want to have any of the liability associated with all the diseases that
you've got to sign the same statement when you take a flu virus shot.
Why?
Informed
if it's
consent.
It's so good for you.
Well, because it's a litigant-like society we have right now, and everybody sues everybody for everything, right?
All right, let me ask you something.
It's basically true, though, right?
Do you think that the vaccine issue and agenda is based on science? Would you say that?
I'll come back and say something in a moment about that.
With no peace of mind.
Well, I think it's based on science.
And I'm ready for the times to get better.
I don't know, but I certainly agree with that. I'm ready too.
I've got to tell you, I've been racking my brain, hoping to find a way.
In the the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Well, I know you, most of you, I'm sure, heard what Senator Patrick Leahy, a Democrat from Vermont, had to say about West Nile virus. And frankly, our guest tonight, Dr. Horowitz, is the principal pioneer and investigator of the whole theory that Senator Leahy was expounding on in Senate. So, and again, Dr. Horowitz testified as well, so that's the reason he's here tonight. I mean, you should see the responses I'm getting. I mean, it's running right down the line, right next to each other. Les in Portland, Oregon said, Art, this is destined to be one of your best programs. And Lee in Gilbert, Arizona, right above him, says, sorry, but this fellow's an irritating fruit. nobody's taking it halfway, and I understand that with the material being presented. We'll get back to Dr. Horowitz in a moment. So there you are, right next to each other. Art, destined to be one of the best shows you've ever had, one of your best programs, or, sorry, this fellow's an irritating fruit. Nobody's greeting you halfway on this, Doctor, as I'm sure you'll find out when we open the phone lines. You'll find probably half and half. I mean, people who are angry at what you're suggesting, because I guess, like me, they don't want to believe their own government would do this to them, that we're the good guys of the world, not the bad guys of the world. And then it's split on the other side, people who are certainly now, I guess, beginning to get real cynical about everything, and they're willing to believe just about anything, including that their own government's going to kill them.
Well, what can I tell you? I mean, things are real. You know, by the way, I mentioned the American Political Prisoners Fund that we're sponsoring in my work with Amnesty International concerning AIDS.
Yes.
We've just produced a Vietnam War song update. You remember Country Joe and the Fish?
Yep.
Well, Country Joe's given us his blessing, and we've just put on the web, on the website healingcelebrations.com, the Iraqi war song, and it is great. It will bring a smile to your face.
Mentions my show at the end of it, right?
And yeah, well, we have two versions. We've got one that mentions the Art Bell Show.
And one that
and
doesn't.
You can also get the CD by calling the toll-free number 888-508-4787 and ask them for the Art Bell special. There's a whole special package that is going along for your show tonight.
Is that a 24-hour number?
Yes, it is. And again, easy way to remember it, 888-508-4787 is the same as 888-50-VIRUS, V-I-R-U-S. And then all the profits from the sale of the CD go to the two efforts, the American Political Prisoners Fund and to the Amnesty International's upcoming investigation of HIV-AIDS, the man-made origin, as we've laid it out in the book.
All right, I want to get smallpox a little bit, because I found, when they announced that smallpox was going to be manufactured virus or vaccine for everybody, I said to myself, what the hell do they know that we don't? I mean, they just don't do something like this out of the blue. They've got to know something. Either they know that somebody's about to release this, or there's a high probability they're going to release it, or they wouldn't go to such drastic measures. Or I suppose you might believe they know it's coming because they're going to do it, right?
You got it. Boy, Art, that is a critical question. I wish everybody would start to think about that question. Again, the article that we posted on the smallpox on healingcelebrations.com talks about Robert Myers, who is the chief executive scientist and director of BioPort, the anthrax vaccine maker. In 1997, they are already planning this whole thing. He goes before the Congress to request from the Appropriations Committee funding for smallpox vaccine and anthrax vaccine. Now, there are over two dozen biological weapons in the arsenals of the superpowers and even in the, quote, terrorist states. So why are we only focusing on those two?
Well, I don't know.
Are the industrialists that have created the market.
Or somebody else might say
that there's intel that we've got that would indicate that there's a, some possibility they're going to release smallpox. Have it and are going to release it.
Well, again, think about, they could release anything. They could release botulism. They could release polio. They could release Ebola.
Sure.
Ebola would be the principal weapon, but you don't hear anything about that because there's no vaccine produced by these pharmaceutical industrials that have created this entire scam. Mm. They planned this for years.
All right. You know, I want to go back for a second. I mean, the FBI coming to you as a suspect in the anthrax mailings, that's serious stuff. Now, why did they come to you? Just because you walked into that office and warned?
No.
Okay, then why?
Well, first of all, yes, indeed. I walked into the office, and so basically, and I kept hounding them. You know what? I even went to the extent that I hired a computer whiz to send a little, what they call a spider, into the FBI's government offices, collecting the email addresses of FBI agents. And I sent every single one of them, about 15 to 1,800 of them, a 25-page documented report citing the Patel Memorial Institute.
First-time callers, area code 775-727-1222.
With all the documentation. You should see what I laid out.
Okay, okay, doctor, you laid all this out. The question again is, why did they come to you as a suspect? What did you do? Was that it? I mean, was it
that
you...
They came to me as a suspect because they had to do something with me. They couldn't, they don't want to follow what I'm telling them, which is the truth. So they had to do something to simply appease me. So they finally came to me, and here's what I ultimately told them. I was very kind. I was very courteous. I answered all their questions. And then they wanted to come back and, again, ask the questions that was totally off where I had suggested that they go. And I finally said to them, listen, I'm done. I said, you can arrest me. You can kill me, shoot me right here, right now. I want you to know that I serve two entities. I serve God, and I serve the people of this great nation. I said, I am telling you where to go to solve this case. You obviously don't want to go there, given the, your line of questioning. And they were apologetic. The two agents that came to me did nothing but apologize, say, Dr. Horowitz, we have just been given this assignment. It is not, don't take it personally.
I'm sure that's right. But I mean...
And it came from above. Robert Mueller, our FBI Director Mueller, was on my list for sending him this information consistently, and I've been saying we have on our posted
well,
on the.
Yeah, but when you send in a spider the way you did, that you know, that's a kind of hacking. So you,
no,
I mean,
it's,
yeah, well,
it's
our kind of
government.
I know, but it's still a kind of hacking.
No, it's not.
Well, it
not
is.
When it, if it was a private organization or institution, yes, and it's illegal. But if it's our government,
yeah, but
you collect those names, that is illegal.
Doctor, you've got to understand how it would piss him off. Come on.
So what? I'm not in the business of making
okay.
people happy. I'm
right.
in the business of telling the truth
right.
and
right.
trying to protect the public's health.
All right, but in actually coming to you as a suspect in the mailings, I mean, it had to be specific. Doctor, where were you on such and such dates?
No, they didn't go there.
They did. Well, then,
no, they didn't go there.
Then what do you
they
mean?
Actually, here's where they went. Here's where they held me as
okay.
potential suspect.
Okay.
Because I have routinely gone out and spoken before audiences across this great nation, I have had people in my seminars who are less than trustworthy, some of whom have, like people in your audience, Art, gotten arrested. And some of those people were held as suspects, particularly since the FBI wanted to pin the anthrax mailings on the fundamentalist Christian right-wing patriots. I've had many of those people in my audiences. And so there was one fellow who was arrested who said that, well, Dr. Horowitz provides a lot of information that you guys need to attend to.
Yeah.
And so then they came to me and said, did you speak in such and such? Did you know this person such and such? And that's where they wanted to pin me in.
Well, as a matter of curiosity, Doctor, usually FBI policy, at least since Hoover, has followed the general political dictates, beliefs of administration in office at the time. Now, why would the Bush administration wish to pin this on right-wing Christian patriots? I mean, that doesn't jive.
No, it does jive. It's perfect.
How?
It's always been. For millennia, it's been divide the sheeple to conquer the flock. You separate Christian from Muslim, Jew from Gentile, even gay from straight. That's how the populations have been divided. Look at this. It's even represented in the Masonic structures on Capitol Hill.
you're looking at the Capitol building, left wing, right wing, Democrat versus Republican.
No.
Globally, it's communist versus capitalist versus socialist. And that's the way it's done, Art. That's how you get control over populations. If we were all united and we were all given the same information, we wouldn't be arguing. We wouldn't be having politics.
But, gee whiz, the Bush administration is to some degree dependent on right-wing born-again Christian votes.
That's allegedly, yes. The Bush administration basically alleges to be that way.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
You don't, huh?
No, I don't. Again, beware of those. You know, in Christ's day, he said, beware of those who call themselves Jews who are not. Today, it's more of like a Christian world. I say, beware of those who call themselves Christians who are not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that for a while myself. All right. I'm going to turn you over here to the audience, if I can. I mean, we've said so much, and I really would like to let some in the audience ask you questions. I'll give you another opportunity as the program progresses to hit your website and your telephone number, but I'd like you to take some calls from the audience.
Oh, right? I'd love to.
All right, good. Then let's rock. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Horowitz. Hello.
Hi, Doc. You know, I've got a formula here for you. If you take and combine this depopulation plan with Murphy's Law, you end up with the fulfillment of the Book of Revelation.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe it isn't God judging us so much as just allowing man to his imagination and doing the job for him.
I agree. And, you know, let me share with you also, in the Book of Revelation, it talks about those who created the end times plagues are the ones who deceived the wealthiest men of all the nations. They're very, you got to be a banker to do that, an international monetary fund bankster. And you got it also, it says in Revelation, they are the ones who stole the blood of the prophets and the people. And look who stole everybody's blood. You know, we've got a website, AmericanRedDoubleCross.com, that exposes the American Red Cross and the Rockefeller connections there and how they have been polluting the blood supplies knowingly with everything from HIV/AIDS to the mad cow disease agent called prions. And so it's the same thing. It's absolutely amazing. And incredibly, now we've been talking all night about pharmaceuticals and drug company scams. It says also in the Book of Revelation that those who did this, who stole the blood of the prophets and the people and deceived the wealthiest men of all the nations, they practiced, quote, sorcery and cast magic spells. The root word of sorcery in Strong's Concordance is pharmacopoeia, pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
These are the multinational corporate pharmaceutical industrials that are doing this to we, the people of the United States, and the good people all over the world.
All right, Doctor. Somebody named Draker, whoever that is, in New York City, says, it almost seems like he sent the anthrax to make his point. Now, I would assume that as a suspect, whether it was your audience or whether it was just you, that if the FBI came to you, they probably had that on their mind, even if they didn't say it, that somebody like yourself, preachy about all of this, might have done it to try and make their point. Is that something that was between their words?
No, that's such a far out possibility. That's ridiculous. I mean, my history, all you have to do is go to my websites and look at my resume.
Well, you've got to admit,
I've been
though,
out there. I'm in the forefront of the public consistently,
yes.
Partly for safety.
Yes, doctor, but you've got to admit that what you're giving us this morning is, in some senses, and for many people, pretty far out sounding.
Well, again, those people are simply at a disadvantage because they haven't looked at the documentation that we publish.
Okay, all right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Horowitz. Good morning. Hello? Hello?
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Yes, where are you?
Yes, this is Frank calling from Western Pennsylvania.
Okay, Frank.
And I have 2 points, the first of which is that the Buffalo News on the 23rd of this month published an article in their foreign policy section which details the specific cultures the U.S. sent to Iraq in the mid-1980s. And the article is called U.S. Sent Iraq Germs in Mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
The author is Douglas Turner, and he's the News Washington Bureau Chief for that newspaper. And they detailed that we sent basically 72 shipments of clones of germs and specific chemical substances that did have military application. The article is certainly, I think, would suffice as backup material for some of the claims made.
Okay, and that's what we know about. Imagine what we don't know about yet that might have been sent.
I think, Frank, your point is so beautifully taken. Why is it it's only in the Buffalo News? Why don't we see it on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and New York Times, Washington Post, and LA Times? This is incredible. Here we have a president of the United States willing to go solo and take our country into war that may, in fact, create entire war over the Middle East, and if not the entire world.
It may.
And we've supplied this man, and they don't want to talk about this?
Correct. Also, there's another point I wanted to raise, and that was regarding Prescott Bush's financing of rearming Germany in violation of the Versailles Treaty.
Yes.
With his partner, Bunny Harriman, at Brown Brothers Harriman, the bank in New York.
Yes.
Which was closed down in December of 1942 by Roosevelt under Trading with the Enemy Act.
Yes.
One point that I think, Art, you had made that you didn't know if maybe the Bushes knew what was happening. In 1938, the B'nai B'rith met with Prescott Bush and Bunny Harriman and explained what Hitler was doing to the Jews. This didn't stop them from conducting business with Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And the company they managed with was the Silesian Steel Trust. And the reason why Thyssen Formasio, the gentleman that was the German partner, after the war he was arrested for war crimes and spent, I believe, 6 years in prison, where he wrote a book detailing the foreign involvement with the backing of Hitler. And virtually every German that has studied history through high school or the university, after Nuremberg, the U.S. mandated, under our denazification of Germany policy, that the Germans study the foreign policy that led them into the morass with Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, when Bush goes to Germany, many of the Germans look down upon the Bushes because they felt that they had a hand in forcing Hitler upon the German people. And a point I wanted to raise is that, yes, it's important to have this discourse now because the world has never been in a more precarious position. World War III is quite possibly looming. And the thing I'm very concerned about is the fact that much of the hearings regarding the Iraq war have been closed to the public and the press.
That's right.
And I'm also very concerned that many of our civil rights under the Constitution have been abrogated with the Patriot Act. And one thing that does concern me is those who dissent with the government policy under the Patriot Act could be deemed civilian combatants, even if they are American citizens, dissenting with our freedom of speech that is a guarantee under our Constitution that has been abrogated with this Patriot Act. And I think that's rather frightening.
All right, sir.
I'm not going to say anything else beyond that, but Art, I'm glad you're back, and I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Keep it up.
All right, thank you. And, Doctor, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. I suspect Doctor, he was very sound. I agreed with a great majority of that. My guest is Dr. Leonard G. Horowitz, kind of a controversial character. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast.
Thank you.
Dark Belt in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz is my guest, and once again, with what Senator Patrick Leahy has said, and with the good doctor's testimony from the Senate Judiciary people, you've got to really sit down and listen, and that's what this program is all about, listening to different points of view, and then sitting out there like a bunch of adults that I hope you are, and making up your own mind.
This is the end of side one. Please leave the cassette exactly where it is, flip it over, and begin again.
Well, we just had another one of those. We lost all telephone lines. Now, this is very interesting. This occurred at about 1:45 Pacific Coast time. Dr. Horowitz and everybody who was waiting to talk to him got dumped off the line. My apologies for that. This is something the phone company is apparently trying to deal with right now and has happened now on two programs separated by quite some number of days. Very suspicious. The phone company has replaced some equipment in the line that they consider suspicious, but all of a sudden, just boom, everything goes away, and that just occurred again. Dr. Horowitz, thankfully, we've got you back again.
Well, that's great, Art. Let me just make this statement, Art. It was the Government Reform Committee before which I had the opportunity on April 18th to provide oral testimony.
Then why do they say judiciary here?
Well, because that's Senator Leahy's committee, and his concerns stem from many sources of intelligence. Mine is simply one small one that is in the congressional record. He is very likely aware of my work in regarding the book Death in the Air, because we've sent about 1,000 free copies to legislators and libraries across the United States as a political effort to wake people up to the documentation, such as Frank from Western Pennsylvania mentioned.
Good enough. Just before we dive back into the phones, and I'm ready to do that, I want to ask you this, in behalf of my listeners. What are your politics?
I don't have any. I'm not I used to be a liberal Democrat, and then I became more of a right-wing conservative, and then I realized that that was a scam, too. Basically, the same one as I said.
If
I was to declare myself, I would say I'm a libertarian.
So you swung from being a liberal Democrat to a conservative?
Yeah. You know, I have a political background. My father was a politician in southern New Jersey. My college roommate is currently Senator Robert Tarricelli from New Jersey. And I know politics inside and out. And when I was very young, we had in my neighborhood, we had the killing of an FBI agent, because this agent was investigating something that was going on of national significance in my own hometown. And I was very privy to the fact that politics go on and people are killed.
All right.
At a young age, I learned some lessons.
All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Horowitz. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling from Kalispell, Montana.
Yes, sir.
And my question is, I've come down with Crohn's disease.
Crohn's disease.
Yes. And Dr. Horowitz, I'm sure, is familiar with it.
Yes.
And the problem I'm concerned with, what my doctor actually told me, that we shouldn't give our daughter any shots at all under any circumstance.
Smart doctor.
And I asked him why. He says, I can't tell you.
Yeah, right.
He told me that.
Did he really say that?
He doesn't want to lose his license.
Another factor is, 2 months ago we had a dog. He was fine. He was 18 and a half pounds. He was a Westie. We wanted to go to Canada. He got shots. Within 2 months, he was dead from cancer. And this dog walked with me 5 miles a day.
You know, it's not unusual at all. When you read the book Emerging Viruses, Anthony Bowley, you come to the conclusion, and you see the documentation, that all the polio vaccines, for example, and Dr. Hilleman, who is, his background is incredible. He's the world's leading vaccine developer. He tells you that the yellow fever vaccines were full of leukemia viruses that they were sending out. That the polio vaccines we now know were loaded with SV40, simian virus 40, the 40th monkey virus ever discovered. It caused cancer in virtually every animal it was injected into. The fact of the matter is, from Salk through Sabin's vaccines, from the mid-50s through the, they say, 1960s, early 60s, they started to clean it up. False, wrong, continued through even the early 1990s. We were injecting as many as 100 simian monkey cancer viruses per dose of the FDA-approved oral polio vaccine in those little sugar tablets we all took.
Yeah.
So we have a cancer epidemic that was predicted in 1961 by Bernice Eddy, who was a brilliant researcher at NIH and the Bureau of Biologics there.
We do have a cancer epidemic. I once read stats that just, I couldn't believe it. It said, you know, like cancer in men, non-smokers, is up 300% since World War II.
Yes.
That's an amazing statistic. I mean, we've got the war on cancer, right? Well, we're losing that one.
Well, listen, we're smart. If we can send people to the moon, we can figure out cancer. They don't want to. It's a moneymaker. More people living off of cancer than dying from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, AIDS is now in the same category. I mean, this cocktail they've concocted that is keeping AIDS patients alive, it's very expensive, yes?
Yeah. Horrible. Another genocide. That's precisely what Amnesty International, what got them involved, and then they came to me. You know, when they learned about emerging viruses and the documentation therein, they were beginning to investigate the genocide that's ongoing in Africa, and then they decided to expand it into the minority populations here in the United States.
By the way, how bad is it now in Africa?
I was there about 8 months ago, and I was just horrified. I was in the ghetto of Kenya, there were 65 to 70% of the population there, of 1.2 million that were being treated by one wonderful physician who came there to volunteer from Australia. 65% to 70% of the population were either HIV positive or had AIDS.
Oh my God. 65 to 70.
65% of 1.2 million treated by one doctor.
People here have a hard time grasping those kind of numbers.
It's unbelievable. It is just, it's another reality. You know, one of the schools that we
that
supported,
is another reality. You're right.
It's just unbelievable. You know, there's a Christian school there that we supported, and the children, all of them, had lost their parents to AIDS, but yet they were happy. The spirit of Africans and Africa is alive and well, and it was such a lesson for me, coming from such a wealthy nation as ours, and, you know, my children need to go over there and see how those children behave.
And what, doctor, do you think is the future, or lack of it, for Africa?
Well, that's very clear. The writing is on the wall. There will be between 30 to 50% of population reduction. The nations of South Africa, for example, are under economic stress extreme because they simply can't keep the workers working. Many, many of the companies there have had to go out of business because their employees have to go stand in lines that are hours long to get the slightest medicine for the infectious diseases that are resulting from the immune suppression of AIDS.
Now, as you well know, there there's at least one nation in Africa where the leader, who is able to dictate what policy will be, does not believe that AIDS is the cause, or the virus is the cause of AIDS.
Oh, you're speaking about Mbeki from South Africa.
Yes, yes, I am. And therefore,
many people have gotten him my materials. A lot of people in Africa are distributing the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola. And part of that decision, I believe, was based on the information that we had sent him. See, HIV does not cause AIDS. What causes AIDS is a combination of cofactors, everything from lifestyle risks, and an agent called mycoplasma. Mycoplasma is the principal cause of the symptoms that we call AIDS.
So then, is the fact that they have detected a virus associated with AIDS a fraud?
No, it's basically a cofactor. It's an immune suppression. What is a fraud is that they're saying that HIV causes AIDS. That's the fraud. It's basically, and the man involved in that, we've talked about on your program 3 years ago, and he will be reinvestigated by Amnesty International coming in November. His name is Dr. Robert Gallo. He is on the contract overseeing Litton Bionetics, the Army's six top biological weapons developers that created numerous AIDS-like viruses way back in the late 60s and early 1970s.
Isn't Dr. Gallo the man who, actually there's a fight over who isolated the AIDS virus, and it wasn't Dr. Gallo involved with that with French? And,
yes,
you know.
Exactly, with Luc Montagnier from France.
Right.
In 1984, allegedly, Dr. Gallo discovered the AIDS virus.
Yes, yes.
And the fact of the matter is, he was associated and actually overseeing for the National Cancer Institute the entire project under which these types of viruses that were immune suppressive and never before seen on planet Earth, that they were being prepared en masse by Litton Bionetics.
Well, we do know that there was congressional testimony about something that would attack the human immune system, or the creation of something that would attack the human immune system. There was congressional testimony about that on the record.
That's right. That's where the book Emerging Viruses begins, is with that particular classified, never declassified. It got out because there's Miles, who is a black Air Force sergeant, I believe. He was rifling through files, found it, and then sent it to Dr. Robert Strecker, an MD, PhD,
right,
who was the sixth overall investigator worldwide to advance the man-made theory of HIV/AIDS.
Right.
I didn't know any of that when I began my investigation. And ultimately, I then got from Strecker that document that you're speaking about, and that's where we put it up front. Here's what it says. Here's the quote from it. This is 1969 for 1970 appropriations. Quote, over the next 5 to 10 years, it will be possible to make a new infective microorganism, unlike anything previously, that has the capability of causing immune suppression. End quote.
That's it. So they were investigating the possibility of creation of something of that sort.
Yes.
And we've got it.
Yes.
See,
the definition and the function of HIV/AIDS.
Yeah, coincidence. Big coincidence. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Horowitz. Hello.
Hi, this is Deborah in San Antonio, Texas.
Yes, Deborah.
This is a great show.
Thank you.
I hope the light is coming on for a lot of people. I believe everything the doctor's saying. I mean, all of it. I've always suspected it. I'm a full-time dissenter. Somebody's got to do it. I'd love to be able to help.
Oh, well, there's a pretty good question, as in what can people do?
Yes.
I mean, let's even get it down to a personal level. Doctor, what can people do to prevent... If let's say they believe you, and this lady obviously did right down the line, what can they do to prevent what's coming? Because the average person probably isn't going to stop what's coming, so how do you defend against it?
Well, we publish this material on healingcelebrations.com. First of all, you want to take right now 5 physical steps to prepare your body to defend itself against these types of plagues.
And those would be?
Number 1, detox. It's time to do some heavy-duty cleaning of your body. It's done by fasting, simple, inexpensive fasts. We recommend a number of them on the healingcelebrations.com website, and as well as in the information in the book Healing Celebrations.
Okay.
Number 2 is deacidification. Here is a miracle. Basically, this information will bless your audience for listening tonight. This one piece of information is extraordinary. If you simply change your body's chemistry, making it more alkaline, over 90% of the population, we have become acidified, and it is in the acidified state that's brought on by the following risk factors, lifestyle risk factors: caffeine, nicotine, sugar, refined carbohydrates, stress, alcohol, pharmaceuticals, and a lot of red meats. That causes our body chemistry to become more acidified. In the acidified state, we become virtual breeding grounds for bacteria, viruses, fungus, yeast, as well as cancers, as well as inflammatory states such as arthritis and other illnesses.
You, of course, are describing many of what some people regard as great pleasures in life.
Yes, unfortunately, some of those, if you really want to start optimizing your health, and particularly there was somebody that called about Crohn's disease, all of these autoimmune diseases can be easily resolved, and cancer even reversed, if you simply change your body's chemistry, making it more alkaline. So step 2 is deacidifying,
right,
alkalinizing.
Right.
Step 3 is boosting natural immunity holistically and naturally. holistic model that we use is, and we recommend in the Healing Celebrations book and materials, is physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, environmentally, and above all, spiritually. Step 4 and 5 are miraculous. They've been heavily suppressed by the pharmaceutical industrialists. The medical deities, I call them, the MDs, know virtually nothing about them because they haven't been trained in step 4, oxygenation therapies and technologies and products. Oxygen, the more oxygen you can get into your body, the healthier you're going to be. Everything from aerobic exercise to oxygenating products and hyperbaric oxygenation chambers can reverse even things like polio symptoms or West Nile attacks that are causing these this paralysis. Oxygen is miraculous, and we explain why in the book Healing Celebrations, and we begin to get into it in the on the website. Step 5 is the bioelectric technologies, everything from the right frequency generators to what clustered water is. Our DNA, in fact, modern science proves, is above all else. It is an electromagnetic receiver and transmitter. They call it photon phonon, electromagnetic reception and transmission. In other words, you know, how you can go to sleep at night feeling so dreadful and wake up in the morning so refreshed is all night long. You've been virtually blessed by the love of God. Now, the scientists don't call it that. They call it photon phonon emissions for intercellular communications, for cellular upregulation. But the bottom line is that what's happening is your body is being rejuvenated electromagnetically first. DNA, the entire Human Genome Project, we expose as a royal scam also. Less than 3% of the function of DNA involves protein synthesis based on the template, the blueprint called DNA. 93%+, according to 3 of the 5 top Nobel Prize winners in the field of medicine and genetics, won their prize money with the discovery that DNA's primary function, 93% of it, is engaged in photon phonon emissions, that is electromagnetic reception and transmission for everything that's going on in your body at any given moment.
All right, let's squeeze one in here. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Horowitz. Hello.
Hi, it's Bruce from Toronto.
Yes, Bruce.
Yeah, the whole issue of, you know, big government conspiracy, I guess, you know, at times I'm not easily persuaded about these things, but, you know, when you say, for instance, look at the whole 9/11 situation and some of the evidence that's been coming out over the last few months about what the government knew, and, you know, recently you had the revelation that they'd known for quite some time that it was quite possible that airliners would not just be hijacked, but would be used in exactly the manner in which they were.
There were warnings, yes.
Yeah, and yet I think it was several months ago, it might have even been Condoleezza Rice who said, well, we never thought that they would use airliners, you know, in the manner in which they did. So that seems to me to be a direct contradiction. Also, this FBI agent that was testifying last week under anonymity that, you know, he had been told not to investigate somebody who turned out to be one of the hijackers. Well, I think, you know, those people on Congress should be asking who gave that order and why. And also, when you look at the, you know, the fact that the current president had at one point been had as a business partner one of bin Laden's brothers. Now, I know it's a big family and everything, but, you know, you add these things up, and to me it's starting to smell like the Kennedy conspiracy.
In other words, you're smelling, as Dr. Horowitz is, complicity.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you look at the Kennedy assassination, even if you only believe, you know, say one-tenth of what Oliver Stone brought out in JFK, you'd have to realize
that would be a fair figure, about a chance.
Yeah, well, you know, even there, you'd have to realize that the official government version just doesn't wash.
Oh, well, right. All right, listen, I've got to go. We're running out of time, and I want to give Dr. Horowitz time to, again, plug his website and the telephone number for Death in the Air, which you can get. I mean, if you're even mildly curious and think he might be onto something here, you're going to want to get that book. Doctor?
Well, thank you, Art. Bruce, you're living in Toronto. I'm going to be in Toronto presenting the Healing Celebrations event on October the 5th. That's just a week from Saturday. So I hope you'll attend. People can get information about that event or the books that we've discussed during the program by calling 888-508-4787. That's 888-508-4787. 888-508-4787. Easy way to remember it is 888-50-VIRUS, V-I-R-U-S. And you can also go to healingcelebrations.com, healingcelebrations.com, for a lot of great information on the health aspects that we've been talking about. The book, Healing Celebrations, is what I urge people to get.
All right, Doctor, we're out of time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Art.
Thank you, Dr. Len Horowitz, and take care. I'm Art Bell. Now it's up to you. You think about what you've heard. You decide for yourself. Good night.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone.